love God, sometimes I hate him. A young monk by the name of Martin Luther once made this confession. Pious minds recoil to hear such terrible words. Angels cover their faces with ethereal wings. Lutherans blush the color of our hymnals. Surely Luther was unregenerate when he said that, we reason to ourselves. Only an unbeliever could say that he sometimes hates God. But the pious mind that recoils to hear such words belongs not to the spirit, but to the old Adam. And the angels covering their faces are not the angels of God, but the fallen angels. And the Lutherans, blushing burgundy, do not yet know what it is to be Lutheran, because Luther speaks the truth, not just of himself, but of all of us. Love God? Sometimes we hate him. And if you cannot bring yourself to confess those words, then you do not yet understand what it means to be a sinner. The greatest teacher in the Old Testament has this singular experience that no matter how much he tries to tell the people of God to live righteously, they simply refuse to. Thanks, but no thanks. Over and over again, he sets before them the divine law, divine guidance, divine righteousness, the way of life. And over again, the people of God choose lawlessness and lovelessness, the way of sin and death. Love God? Most of the time, Israel hates God. Ask Moses. Israel has no righteousness of its own. It needs a righteousness that is not its own. A righteousness come from the Messiah. The greatest teacher of Israel had no success, and neither did Israel's greatest king. They are corrupt, he says. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. So much for the myth of the pious pagan living somewhere in Africa. So much for the myth of the pious child of God who's finally got her life all together. Neither exists. Love God? Humanity hates God. Ask King David. Humanity also must have a righteousness not its own, a righteousness given it by the Messiah. Add to the voices of Israel's greatest teacher and Israel's greatest king the voice of Israel's greatest preacher. All we like sheep have gone astray, he preaches. We have turned every one to his own way. Gone astray from whom? Turned away from whom? Gone astray from the shepherd. Turned away from the man of sorrows. Departed from Christ and sought our own way, the way of glory, the way of self-righteousness. Love Christ? The truth is, sometimes we hate him. Ask Isaiah. If loving Jesus is what gets us into heaven, then heaven is going to be an empty place. There is no righteousness in us. We must be given a righteousness that is not our own. So Jesus Christ himself says, from within and out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, and the list goes on and on until not a single set of eyes in this whole sanctuary could look Christ in the eye. God in the flesh tells every single one of us what he thinks about the prospects of human righteousness. Out of a man's heart come not righteousness or faith or love. Out of a man's heart come wickedness and deceit blasphemy and pride, unbelief and hatred. All we like sheep. The greatest teacher in Israel, the greatest king, the greatest preacher, even the Messiah himself, all agree no man has any righteousness that is his own. If self-help is what you're looking for, then you haven't yet realized that yourself is the problem. And if you cannot find yourself among the sinners, you might very well be a moral person in the eyes of the world, but you are no Christian. The greatest evangelist makes sure that we Christians understand that even after baptism, sin dwells in us, so that the evil we do not want to do, we end up doing. And the good that we want to do, we do not. Enemies of God, Paul calls us. In the events of Good Friday and Easter, all sinners, all sins are drawn into one. The sins of the people, sin in the plural, becomes sin in the singular. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Baptist's words remind us that our sins, the sins of our brothers and sisters in Christ, the sins even of our enemies, are all one sin. One sin laid on Christ. One spear that pierces his side. One Christ from whom flows the water in every font, the blood in every cup. Thousands and thousands of fonts are one water. Thousands and thousands of cups are one blood. Thousands and thousands of altars are absorbed into one Christ so that he is our one altar. Thousands and thousands of prophets and apostles, bishops and pastors are absorbed into Christ, the one true pastor, the one true shepherd of our souls. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The good shepherd lays down his own life for the sheep. So great is his love for them. So great is his love for you. One flock, one shepherd. And all of this oneness matters. Hear a word from one of the greatest New Testament pastors. If someone says, "I love God," but he hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Love your brother? The truth is, sometimes you hate him. And if that's true, love God? The truth is, sometimes you don't. Ask St. John. Sin always seeks to destroy the oneness that we have with one another in Christ Jesus. Sin is always trying to pit one sinner against another sinner. Where we find help is in the one communion. As your mouth receives his one body, your sin is taken away, and the same for your brother. As your mouth receives his one blood, your life is restored, and the same for your brother. Come to this altar with all of your disagreements, and Christ will make you one. Unless, of course, you insist upon hanging on to your sins. Unless, of course, you insist upon not repenting. This brings us to our text this morning. The Jews who gather around Jesus don't have any time for repentance or brotherly love. What they're interested in is politics. The Jews versus the Romans. The Democrats versus the Republicans. The teachers versus the school board. The confessionals versus the missionals. People of the Tea Party and people who just like to party. One thing is true for all of them. Politics, not repentance. The speck in your brother's eye instead of the 2x4 in your own. For the Jews, the Feast of Dedication had overtones not unlike a political rally. What we think of as Hanukkah, they thought of as the Maccabean Revolt, the last time Israel overthrew her pagan captors. The Jews who gather around Jesus in Solomon's portico want to know if he is the Christ who will wage war with them against their political enemies. They know well enough the answer. He has taught them. He has shown them. He desires mercy, not sacrifice. He desires oneness, not factions. His kingdom is not of this world. So if you're looking for Christ to help you conquer your political enemies and justify you in your behaviors, then I'm sorry to tell you, but you've misunderstood the Christ who came to take away the sins of the world. The book of Revelation shows us who the true Christ is and what the true church looks like. Behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, we might say from all political and social persuasions. In that great mob surrounding the Lamb, you will find politicians who fought against one another, people who disagreed with one another bitterly, even soldiers who killed one another, all standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Every single one a sinner, every single one of them like sheep who have gone astray, and every single one of them standing before the Lamb for one reason and one reason only. Their robes have been washed white in the blood of the Lamb. Our oneness is a oneness in His blood. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. All the foolishness, all the rebellion, all the hatred laid on Him. And not just yours, but your brother's also. The very blood of God shed for you is the very blood of God shed also for your brother. If you would have him stand under judgment, then you must stand under judgment also. But know this, that God, for His part, has put judgment away forever by taking judgment upon Himself, shedding His own blood. The blood of Jesus and His blood alone, this is our righteousness, a righteousness of God, a righteousness apart from our works, apart from the law, a righteousness credited to us freely by God's grace. God so loves His enemies that He becomes one of us to save us. The shepherd so loves his straying sheep that he becomes a little lamb and he is led like a lamb to the slaughter. The Lord laid our iniquity upon Him, and so it pleased the Lord to bruise Him, not you and not your brother, to put Him to grief, and not you and not your brother, to make His soul an offering for sin, so that your robe and the robe of your brother might be washed white in the blood of the Lamb. The shepherd so loves the sheep that for us He has become a lamb. And as Revelation says, the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. And He will guide them to springs of living water. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Sin brings tears. Jesus wipes every tear from our eyes. All we like sheep have gone astray. We go most astray when we forget that we are sheep of the one shepherd. And we try to be wolves, devouring one another. For Scripture warns, if you bite and devour one another, be careful lest you be eaten by one another. Let me put it another way also. If you choose to act like a wolf in the midst of God's flock, then do not be surprised to find the shepherd himself as your enemy. For God so loves his flock that he remains her shepherd and her protector forever. And the Holy Spirit too. He also gives to the flock overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Do you think God cares how Christians treat one another? The shepherd has purchased each little lamb, each one of you, not with gold or silver, but with his own holy and divine blood. All we like sheep have gone astray. Take it from the greatest teachers, kings, apostles, and pastors. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have no righteousness that is our own. The only hope we have is the blood of the shepherd who lays down his life for us, the sheep. The blood of the lamb who sheds his blood as a sacrifice for us. Not our righteousness, his righteousness. How certain can you be that your sins are forgiven? That you have eternal life? Look to yourself, and you will say with Luther, love God? The truth is, sometimes I hate God. Look to Jesus, and you will hear the words that the shepherd speaks to his sheep, spoken to you. I give you eternal life, and you will never perish, and no one will snatch you out of my hand. My Father, who has given you to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch you out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Sinners, in the hands of a gracious God, you are in the Father's almighty hand. So is your brother. One family. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise with me now as we confess together the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Amen.